to stand and sing with me. This may be a new hymn to you, but if it's new, I'm sure you'll pick it up after the first verse. We declare our faith as you stand up, by grace alone, in Christ alone.
Thank you. Thank you.
great. Thank you, Carol. So I've got a message that's going to incorporate the children here this morning. And everybody see you tomorrow at Valley Welcome where you're sitting. Thanks to Bob and Pastor Judy for running their white screen TVs. We'll make sure we get it back to you. But there's a verse that I want to use as a little springboard, and I've kind of alluded to this a little bit already, but it's in the book of Isaiah. And it says in Isaiah 49, verse 16, God says this. He says, "See, I have you engraved on the palms of my hands." Wow. Those are pretty awesome hands. God made each one of us unique and different, but all in his image, to be his precious gifts, beloved sons and daughters. I once heard a theologian say that if God had a refrigerator, he'd have your picture on it, mine. That would be some refrigerator, right? Well, we've got a refrigerator at our home in Southern California, and it's got a lot of new pictures on it, because we've had a literal explosion of grandchildren. This was taken 2 summers ago. I thought I'd tell you just a quick bit about my family. I can't point to both monitors at the same time. So, the beautiful lady on the left there is my wife, Tammy, and we just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. And those are our 2 daughters behind. On the right is older daughter, Heidi, and her husband, Ryan. I was telling Pastor Judy this morning, they live in Connecticut because Ryan is on the faculty teaching theology at Yale. And very much director of the Faith Center for Faith and Culture. These were our 2 oldest grandchildren. This was taken 2 summers ago, so they've grown quite a bit. I'm holding the little Princess Grace down the bottom, Princess Grace Victoria. She's got me wrapped around her little finger, you can tell, right? And above that is her brother Gabriel. And notice the 2 babies that Tammy and our other daughter Lisa are holding look very similar in age, don't they? The one in pink is Eveline Catherine. She is 30 minutes older than her baby brother Isaiah Frederick. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Lisa and her husband next to her is Jonathan in just a moment. But here we are enjoying a little summer fun in the hot tub. And we just had our 5th grandchild born. And here we are at the birthing center. Little Solomon Paul is like 11 days old. And what a joy it was. We got to be with Lisa and her husband just an hour or so after the birth. And his Grammy Tammy, as the kids call her, and Grandpa Ross with Solomon. What a delight. And here's little baby brother Isaiah. Look at the look on his face. And even Eveline was so thrilled. Well, holding babies is a joy. Whether we're mothers or fathers, grandmothers or grandfathers, uncles or aunts. Here's little Eveline when she was 3 months old, learning to praise God enthusiastically. And here they are on Grace's 3rd birthday. This was the only day when we had the 3 babies awake and not crying at the same time, in a few minutes. But I show you that because it's kind of to introduce the theme. I've written a lot of lullabies in the last few years since the grandchildren came along. To be honest, I'm not real happy with the state of the lullaby repertoire. The number one song in the repertoire in the English language, guess what? What do you think it is? Isn't that a wonderful song? When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle, and all. What people sleep when you sing that lyric? So tonight, I'll share one or two of the lullabies I've written. But I use that as a springboard to introduce the sermon title, Our Father Sings. I ask you this question. If it's a delight for one of us as a parent or uncle or aunt or grandparent to hold a baby and these little 2-year-old twins, they've been holding baby Solomon, and you just see the look on their face. It's a delight. It's joy. Pure joy. I wonder how much more your Heavenly Father and mine longs to hold us, his precious kids, and maybe sing a lullaby to us. Because God does sing. Look at this verse in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the Abiding One will say. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I wonder what he would say in his song. But when we get to the end of the sermon, I'm going to sing a song that I wrote that I submit might be what he would want to say even to me. But right now, I really enjoy being greeted by everybody this morning. And I want to remind us with this next song that I wrote, it's a contemporary hymn. I want to remind us all that we need to help them. So come on up, guys. I know you're ready for this. I hear we have some young and hot people out there, too. When you see what the kids get to do, you're going to really wish that you had an instrument like this. Would you like to have that one? What's your name?
Zoe.
Hey, Zoe. How old are you, Zoe?
What's your name? Now, I've noticed that the troublemakers usually sit up the front, like Carol, she needs one. Now, this gentleman I met yesterday, isn't this Doc? Yes.
How could I forget? I'm going to give you a prescription, Doc, okay? I want you to listen to two songs and call me in the morning. you can take as many songs as you want. And this young lady here, too, in the desk, really. So, you guys, I was talking about the birds, right? There's so many beautiful birds here. We have beautiful birds in California. Now, we have a mockingbird in our backyard that sings all day long. Drives me crazy. No, not really. You know this mockingbird that knows like 50 or 60 different songs? And just rotating, it's like a DJ doing a rotation on a radio station. But that bird, when it stops singing, every now and then, you know what this mockingbird does? It flips up in the air and does a little dance. And then back down on the branch. It's not only singing praises to God, it's dancing praises to God. But you know, Jesus had something to say about the birds. He said, take a look at those birds. They don't worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear because their creator God takes care of them. And how about flowers? See, some beautiful flowers and make their food in the desert. He said, those flowers are so beautiful for even Solomon. Okay, all you kids, his disciples, to listen up. If God can take care of the birds and the flowers, how much more will he take care of you, his heavenly children, his precious gifts? What a beautiful teaching in the book of Matthew. So, then he goes on to say, so don't worry about tomorrow. You guys, have you finished school yet? Yeah? Oh, you're lucky. We've still got another week or so in California. Students are worrying about their exams. But Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. He said, seek first the kingdom today. Does anybody down here ever say no worries? By the way, I forgot to tell you that I grew up in Australia, didn't I? You didn't recognize that, did you? In Australia, you know what we used to say when we were kids your age? We'd say, no worries, mate. And now everybody around the world says no worries. If you go to Jamaica, you know what they say down there? Their version is, no problem, man. If you go to Africa, you know what they say? Hakuna Matata. Lion King, right? Means no worries. Well, I decided it was about time to write a song about not having any worries. So I had to go on a field trip. I went down to Jamaica, man. And I went to Trinidad to study the steel drums. And here's what I came up with. The words of Jesus. Matthew 6, the music of Ross, is called No Worries, Mate. Goes like this. You ready, Dan? This is my steel drum band all the way from Trinidad.
Thank you.
Would you do me the honors and collect those? Because we'll need them again tonight. I hope the kids will come back tonight. And young people and neighbors and everybody else. And we don't have any candy for you guys today, do we?
Yes,
we do. All right, Miss Carol. You know, while the kids are collecting instruments and they're getting the candy, why don't we give God praise for these wonderful young people that we have in this church? And those who couldn't be here today. Make sure you get them from the adults, because Doc is going to take his home if you want to go pick it up. You should get Doc's there. Yeah. Everybody awake now?
Yeah.
Woo! My wife always worries that I don't get enough exercise on these weekend ministry trips. I say, honey, if I do that, so once or twice, it's pretty good for a mile run. I've been to all 50 states, and I've been to New Mexico many times, mostly driving through on the way to ski in Colorado and Texas. But I've done some guesting in churches in North Dakota and Santa Fe years ago. But this is the first time I've been to a part of New Mexico. It's absolutely beautiful. I understand why so many people choose to live here. In the ministry that I've been doing for 21 years now, it takes me to all kinds of interesting places. But what I haven't even told Bob, this confession is good for the soul. Last year, I spent a little time in jail. Yeah. Bob, you said you'd seen my picture in the post office, right? Actually, it was only 4 hours. And I was there by choice. I had a friend who was a prison chaplain. Just like Bruce is a hospice chaplain. His name was a full-time prison chaplain in a maximum security prison. And he's a bivocational pastor. And I got to know him at a church conference. He said, Ross, he said, every Sunday morning, I have to do 2 chapel services at the prison. He said, the man getting a little tired of hearing me every week, would you like to come sometime and be a guest? He said, we have over 400 people come to the worship service. 1,600 inmates, 400 come to the service. So I did the background check. It took weeks and months. I think they didn't have to call my great-great-grandmother in Australia, who's way better than me. But they finally approved me. The chaplain, my chaplain friend, said, now, Ross, make sure you wear a coat and tie. I said, really? He said, the prisoners want me in coats and ties. He said, that's exactly the point. They need to be able to tell us from the inmates. So we went there. Couldn't take my cell phone in. I had it in my pocket, so I didn't even have to take a chapstick in because I was a student. I wanted to take in my thumb drive, but no, they wouldn't want to get that, so I had to turn to that. Thankfully, I sent the PowerPoint to the chaplain's office computer. But after the metal detector, there were 5 more stations that we had to go through. We put a handprint on the laser. Boy, he thought that was secure. By the time we got to the chapel, after about half an hour of checking everything, we arrived there and there were a couple of inmates, and they were lining up chairs, not beautiful pews like this, but metal chairs. But it was a room about this size. And they lined out over 200 chairs for the first service, and then those men left and went in for the second service. There were prison guards, armed guards, looking for places in the chapel. I actually felt safer there than I knew in downtown Los Angeles. But anyway, it was incredible. I did a service for both groups. You've never heard of Amazing Grace, son. Most all of them have a life sentence. I was moved so much by how many young people were over there. I would say out of the 400 plus, at least a third were only able to come up. I met the sound man who was running the sound. Just like Craig, he was a fine outstanding gentleman. I appreciate all your help too, Craig. But he told me that he had 3 life sentences. But you could look from his eyes. He had come to know Jesus in prison. He was a changed man. And he couldn't wait for that one to know Jesus. I'll never forget, as I left the prison, left the chapel, there was a big gentleman, a big African American gentleman, standing
before I sang the song, I told the story. The song is based on the story of the prodigal son. And folks, you could have heard a pin drop in that chapel. I don't think any of these men have heard that story before. Or if they had, maybe they heard the emphasis on the younger son, who was a good son, who wasted his inheritance, who did all the bad things while the older son, or he was a good kid, he was still coming. But I told him, you know what? That's the way I used to think about the story when I was in Sunday school, and I don't have the church in Australia. But as I've gotten older, I've come to realize that Jesus told this story with a different main character in mind. He wanted us to see the Father. His Father. Our Father. The only Father who's perfect. And I told the man, you know, I love the part of the story where it says the Father sees his son a long way off. He's been waiting, hoping, and yearning for so long. And I'm sure, by the way, Mother had been too. Maybe even more so. The Father takes off running to his son. He doesn't call for his servants, which he has many. He doesn't wait for a carriage. He doesn't care if his beautiful robes get all dusty, his sandals get dirty. He reaches his son, he throws his arms around him, and he says, "Welcome home, my dear boy." And of course, the son has to give the speech. You see, the last job he had was feeding pigs, and I can just imagine he used the mud to practice writing out the speech to thank the offending his father for forgiveness. And it's kind of like the speech goes right over the father's head. It's almost like he says, "Whatever." He says, "Bring out my best robe. Bring out my finest ring. Bring out my best sandals. For my son who was dead is alive. My son who was lost is now found." And then he says, "Let's have a party." And he threw a big celebration. And I told the men at the Christmas, said, "Fellas, there's not one of us in this room, including me, who haven't done some pretty bad things in our lives. Just like the prodigal son. But you know what? Regardless of that, the Father is always looking out for us to come home. And when we do, He can't wait to wrap His arms around us. And to say, come, join the great celebration."
Thank you.
get your website and the various videos and streaming and blog and others have done. I did notice that there were some occasions when you were a few minutes out of the show. So I figured they'd got it. But I want to tell you quickly, as kind of an introduction to this next song. Adora Lisa and Jonathan have just had the third baby in the song, Paul, parents of the twins. They actually met working side by side overseas. The twins spent most of their first 2 years in Kabul, Afghanistan, where Jonathan was a missionary pilot, but believe me, you cannot use the word missionary in Afghanistan in the same sentence. We would say he was a humanitarian pilot in Central Asia, for obvious reasons. But there they are, people with 2 years with the twins in their compound in Kabul. Notice the very high walls, for obvious reasons. But they first met, working side by side in the Eastern Congo, of all places. We thought that was dangerous enough, and then they go after that to Afghanistan. But in the Congo, Lisa was working for Samaritan First, a wonderful Christian organization. She was the director for the entire Eastern Congo for all the work they did with the families there. And she loved the work she did. She met Jonathan, who was flying these little single engine airplanes. Look at that runway. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way all the planes land. You can't land on dirt strip, you don't land. And, but while they were there, they really learned to love the children, as they did in Afghanistan. Lisa actually speaks four languages, six languages, and that's not counting Australian. But, you know, growing up in the Methodist Church in Australia, I was really very impressed with the passion for those who are less fortunate, those who are poor, those who are marginalized. I know that that's a big part of Pastor Pete's thing, and also his congregation. And it is in our family. And both our daughters, older daughter Heidi, she's a managing director of an organization called Innovations in Poverty Action, which is active in 90 countries around the world to try to help minimize and alleviate poverty. And there's a verse in Matthew that I had to write a song based on. Thinking about this is a good point in Sunday school, where Jesus says, whenever you do this for the least of these, you do it unto me. There's a couple of things I'd like to observe about that. First of all, I think we all know in God's eyes to use the least of these. You can put that on promises. These children in the Congo and in Afghanistan, every bit as precious as these beautiful kids. All of those children are precious to me. Secondly, if we're doing it directly for Jesus, I think we can infer that Jesus lives in these children. He makes us one of them, just like he makes us one of the image. And so as I sing this second last song, I invite you, as you watch this
song and close with the chorus together. I just want to say thank you so much to Bob. You know, he did an incredible job clicking my PowerPoint earlier. But Pastor Judy for enabling me to be here, and I'm so pleased, even though I know you want that grandbaby to come quickly, so pleased that you could be here today with us. And if you would like to take a newsletter off the table out of the lobby, there's pictures of the world's cutest grandchildren. And I have a couple of my piano solo CDs, which you may be interested in, including the Lord's Prayer. I even have a recording of my favorite medley of musicals, like Phantom of the Opera and some of those, which is some absolutely beautiful music. And all the songs you've heard today are on this CD called Our Father Sings. And when you hear Tammy sing the lullaby I wrote for her to sing to our grandchildren called the Mother's Lullaby, you'll probably think to yourself, Ross, why don't you have Tammy record all your songs? Because she has an absolutely beautiful voice. So, do you want to hear what the Father might say in his lullaby today? After this one, I'll give it to you, Bob. Not yet. He's anxious. Here's what I think he might want to say in the Father's lullaby. It's called Our Father Sings. Thank you. I'm even going to take some requests, because what I like to have, especially on a Sunday evening when we get together in the Father's house, He wants us to feel right at home. He wants us to have fun. And so I will have a little bit of fun. I might even wear shorts tonight. No, I won't wear shorts. But look forward to meeting you all as you leave. And thank you again for making me feel so welcome. And I'd like us all to stand. And we're going to close singing just one chorus of the great hymn that we started out with. Great is thy faithfulness. Singing it to our awesome, wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Children said together.